Robert enrolled at Cornell in the last week of August 1988. Cornell is among the most isolated of major universities. Its campus is in Ithaca, a small city with a population of 29,000 at the southern tip of Cayuga Lake, one of the five large Finger Lakes in upstate New York's lush farming region. In the first week he was there, Robert skipped most of the computer orientation talks given by Dean Kraft, the campus computer facilities manager. It seemed unnecessary to attend basic lectures on logging into the system and sending electronic mail. Kraft had handed everyone a copy of the Computer Science Department's computer use policy, which prohibited the use of computer facilities for browsing through private computer files, decrypting encrypted material, or obtaining unauthorized user privileges. While Kraft was giving his talks, Robert was already logged into the computer. He didn't make many friends at first. He moved into an old house about a mile from campus with two other graduate students, but the students kept to themselves. It was nothing like the easy communal atmosphere at the house in Cambridge. Upson Hall at Cornell didn't seem to foster the camaraderie and closeness of Aiken at Harvard. It was larger and more anonymous. Robert shared an office with seven other graduate students on the building's fourth floor. The office had just two terminals. From his desk, Robert had a southerly view that looked out on Cascadia Creek Gorge and on Ithaca College across the hills on the other side of the valley. Interesting science was happening all around him. One floor above in the building's newer wing, the plasma physics group of the electrical engineering department was working on space plasma physics using data from the space shuttle program. And in Cornell's computer science department, there were major research efforts in physical modeling and simulation, robotics, and computer vision, as well as in reliable distributed computing, which looks at ways of building systems to survive the failure of individual pieces. Robert started out taking basic graduate courses. In one, a small class on microprocessor design, the professor noticed that Robert had an unusual curiosity about how things work. He seemed less interested in concentrating on his assigned piece of the project of building a microprocessor than in the bigger problem of chip design. If something didn't captivate him right away, Robert was blunt about it. When another professor gave him a paper to read, he returned it, saying it hadn't interested him. He had spent enough years staring out the window when something bored him. Now he spoke his mind freely. Robert was lonely and slightly distracted. He was late in submitting one of his first mathematics papers and received only a fair grade. He was spending a lot of time at the computer, but he wasn't necessarily concentrating on his schoolwork. He made friends with one of his office mates, Dawson Dean. Dawson had gone to MIT and was just the kind of one-dimensional digit head Paul Graham so often complained about, but Robert was also quick to give someone the benefit of the doubt, and he thought Dawson was an okay guy. He enjoyed having technical discussions as much as Robert did. One night, while both were working late at Upson Hall, Robert and Dawson started talking about network security. Robert pointed out that he had figured out several ways to bypass security on local area networks. "Are you one of those people who breaks into computers for fun and then gets hired?" Dawson asked. Robert smiled and nodded. He told Dawson that he had given lectures on security at the National Security Agency and the Naval Research Laboratory, but he told Dawson he wasn't particularly interested in making a career of computer security. "It's too boring," he told his office mate. Robert exchanged lots of electronic mail with his old friends from Cambridge, most of whom had scattered to other places. A great deal of mail came from David Hendler, as well as from Janet Abate, a housemate from the previous summer in whom Robert had taken a romantic interest. A graduate student at the University of Pennsylvania, Janet was getting ready to return to Philadelphia. She checked in regularly with Robert, sending him warm and high-spirited notes over the network and baked goods by mail. Eleanor Sachs, the former manager at Aiken, sent him a note saying she hoped Cornell would give him RTM, his beloved login. He still hadn't bothered to change the Morris login Cornell had assigned him. Nick Horton, who had moved to Oregon, forwarded Robert a half-dozen recipes for Thai dishes from the Usenet recipe exchange. Robert quickly developed a reputation as a talented programmer who kept to himself. He wasn't aloof. He was just quiet. He sat apart from others in classes and declined invitations to join professors and fellow students for beer at a local pub on Friday evenings. Nonetheless, he took advantage of many other things Cornell had to offer. He signed up for a rock climbing course. joined the computer science department's intramural ice hockey team, and started singing with the Sage Chapel Choir.